sputs are big on the back of Bud's rig. They're from Prince Edward Island. They're from Prince Edward Island. Now from Charlottetown or from Summerside, they load him down for the big long ride. He jumps in the cab and he's off with the Pride Sebagos. He's got to catch the boat to make Fermentine, then he hits up that old New Brunswick line. To Montreal he comes just a-flying with another big load of potatoes. It's Bud the Spud from the bright red mud, rolling down the highway smiling. The Spuds are big on the back of Bud's rig. They're from Prince Edward Island. They're from Prince Edward Island.
Welcome to the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only Campus Produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. If you got any questions, comments, concerns, whatever you got, give us a call. 204-269-8636. That is 204-269-UMFM.
Ah, a little Stomp and Tom to start off with. We welcome you to the Hockey Show here as the man, the myth, the legend, Stomp and Tom. Fortunately, he was already passed away as we fade him out. Fade out Bud the Spud, one of his famous songs. He'll be honored on Saturday. If you haven't heard about this, folks, tune in early to CBC's Hockey Night in Canada featuring the Toronto Maple Leafs hosting your Winnipeg Jets.
Again.
As it was released yesterday that the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame is going to induct the song, the hockey song, into the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame.
There you go. It's probably the greatest hockey song of all time, I would say.
You know what? I compared it yesterday to when I was writing on Hockey Blog in Canada. I compared it to Center Field as being probably one of the more famous songs about sport. Regardless of who you are, where you are, what you know, hockey song is pretty much universal now in terms of what's going on. Didn't get a lot of accolades when it first came out in terms of what's going on, but yeah. I mean, we're talking about one of the most famous sort of themes here.
I mean, he was Canadian. He did his travels and his shows around Canada, so he's not known much outside of Canada.
No, yeah.
But I'm sure the hockey song is known in a lot of places.
Won 6 Juno Awards, and people may not know this, won 6 Juno Awards in terms of Canadian Grammy Awards, in terms of what's going on there, between 1971 and 1975, so he had a good run there. He's won a bunch of Lifetime Achievement Awards. He's got tons of accolades in terms of what's going on. Artists such as Avril Lavigne, Great Big Sea, Del Barber, when Manitoba's on Del Barber. They've covered the song. It's been sung by thousands of fans every night in terms of different places. Brought back to the forefront. Do you know which team actually originated it as part of their hockey presentation? Let's see if you know the trivia here.
The Canadian team?
It is a Canadian team.
Was it the original Jets?
It was not the original Jets.
The Montreal Canadiens.
Incorrect. The answer that you're looking for, in 1992, they made it part of their setup. The Ottawa Senators started playing it, and who heard it? Was country and western fan Pat Burns, who then brought it back and said, "I want this played every game at Maple Leaf Gardens."
Late
and
Pat
that
Burns
started said. The third period playing of the hockey song at every Leafs game now. So thank the Ottawa Senators for bringing this back, because the hockey song wouldn't have been as famous as it was if it wasn't for the Ottawa Senators / the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So,
history.
So a little bit of history, a little bit of fun there in terms of Stomp and Tom, getting his hockey song into the Songwriting Hall of Fame.
I heard it on Saturday night. Saturday afternoon. Is that the Jets game?
Yeah.
It's the Arizona Coyotes.
That's played everywhere, too. That's the thing. It's a good song in terms of what's going on. A little bit of fun with that. So nice to see that happening. Good for Stomp and Tom. I mean, again, it's unfortunate that he's passed away and they're doing it after he died. But his son, Tom Connors Jr., will be there with family, and they're going to accept a plaque and have the whole shabub. And then
Is his nickname Tiptoeing?
Tiptoeing Tom. No, I don't think it is. I compared it to this. It's as ubiquitous in hockey rinks as Take Me Out to the Ball Game is at Wrigley Field. Everybody sings along to it. Everybody knows the words.
All celebrities.
Well, not all the words, but everybody knows. Everybody gets in there and sings.
People just sing something.
Everybody knows the first three lines. Hello out there. Yeah. We're on the air. It's hockey night tonight. It's the musical equivalent of Rock Carrier's The Hockey Sweater in terms of what you're thinking about, because it's that old-timey, you got that feel. It speaks to the nostalgic way that we reminisce about hockey with voices like Foster Hewitt, Danny Gallivan, Bob Cole, the long-term guys that have done some great work on TV for us. And it's a little bit of our, as you were saying, a little bit of our national protectionism, because again, Connor sings about the best game you can name, and he's talking about, you know, the good old hockey game. So.
Canadian boy Bobby Orr.
It was asked about a long time ago. I can't remember. I was reading the information. Oh, Perry Lefko from in 2009. When he's working for Sportsnet, asked Stomp and Tom about Bobby, which, like, hey, you named Bobby, and what's going on with that? Which Bobby are you talking about, or Hull, or you know, any of those? And he said, you know what? It just was the name that fit. It wasn't a specific name. If he
makes sense, it would be Bobby Orr, but
you would think it's Bobby Orr. Yeah. But he said it was in no one particular. Yeah. Bobby was just a good hockey name that he picked out of because there were so many Bobbies in hockey at that time.
There you go. I always just thought it was Bobby Orr.
I always thought it did as well, and then I was reading up on it, and that's what happened. So
there you go.
So there you go. In terms of a little bit of trivia, a little bit of knowledge about the Stomp of Tom Connor song. Again, tune in early. I'm not sure if CBC will show it or Sportsnet will show it. I hope they do.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to see the ceremony. Also to be noted is that not only will his family be there in terms of getting everything going, but I believe that Tim Hicks?
Okay. Yep.
Tim Hicks. Country star Tim Hicks will perform it that night as well at ACC, Scotiabank Arena now.
Yeah.
When the Jets and Maple Leafs are getting ready there.
So. Well, you think they showed. I mean, last night they showed Randy Backman. Played.
Yeah, yeah. Randy Backman. They actually had a whole bunch of people up there in terms of different stars, in terms of where they came out. So
there was, So was they showed all that. They had a big, almost like a festival happening out there.
Yep.
So.
And it was funny because Lefko in that setup asked him, where does the hockey song rank in terms of his favorite songs that he's written, right?
Yeah.
And he said it's no different than any of his other songs, like Bud the Spud, Sudbury Saturday Night, Tilsonburgs in terms of some of his more famous songs. He doesn't have a favorite.
Yeah.
And I'm going, but that song is like pure Canadiana.
It's his most famous song. Exactly. His most famous song, but so. We know Stomp and Tom for, but yeah, but I mean, he was a musician. He made music because he loved it. So
fantastic to see that happening. I'm happy to see that going. If you missed it last week, and I know I didn't post the audio for it. I will get that tonight.
Oh.
It was a little bit of chaos here last week in terms of the insanity going on.
It was Pledgerama.
It was Pledgerama. Currently, we are sitting at $43,007.
It's a little bit over what we asked for.
We're very grateful. Thank you, Winnipeg. Thank you, listeners outside of Winnipeg. Thank you, Manitoba. Thank you, from wherever else you're from.
Wherever you donated from.
If you're still interested in donating, still want to be part of it, you can always call. You can always pledge. You can always get onto the pledge option on the website, umfm.com, and throw some money down. There's still some prizes left. Still some incentives left.
Ooh.
Might be able to get what you want. If you thought, you know what, I'm not getting paid until Friday and I don't have time to get down to the stage. You got time now.
There you go.
We'll still take some donations if you want to donate.
Maybe.
Shirts. Hot sauce.
Hot sauce is good.
Hot sauce is very good.
I liked it.
So that's still up there. In terms of what we did last week, we were talking and having some fun and doing some craziness and...
Doing
some concussion talk in between our Pledgerama talkies in terms of what we were saying there. In saying that, we were giving away some incentives as well. I can tell you right now, we've got one person, one event lined up already. The We Visit You went to a gentleman by the name of Richard.
There you go.
Who donated $75 to our show.
Nice.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
He has asked that we go out to Sanford High School on November 15th for a high school game between Sanford High School and Vincent Massey Collegiate.
Oh, there you go. Nice. Yeah, that's
Sanford Collegiate, I guess.
A little bit of a jaunt from the city.
Be a bit of a jaunt, but again, we're going to have a little bit of fun with that in terms of getting out there.
It's the opposite way of where I live, but hey, I'll still go.
I'm waiting to get the full list.
Yep.
Our administrative people aren't here tonight, a.k.a. GM Jared and Program Director Mike. So I don't have the full list of who's donated to the hockey show, but I do want to say thank you to anybody and everybody who has donated and mentioned those words on the air or on the phone. Give the money to the hockey show. They need it. I'll have a full list of who won what coming up next week, only because, again, we don't have any of the administrative stuff done yet today. And Jared and Michael, I know we're working on it in terms of making sure that every single show knew who donated to them. We'll have all of that information next week. I apologize for that this week. I know I promoted it on the show preview, but it's not going to happen tonight just because we don't have access to that file.
There you go. We're not that important.
We don't have that level of clearance, security clearance here. In saying that, though, let's get to some of the other stuff that we want to talk about tonight, because there's a lot going on in the hockey world, and certainly one of the stories is that The 6-3-1 Winnipeg Jets look awful.
Yeah, they don't look like a 6-3-1 team.
They probably shouldn't be at that record. But in saying that, they're 6-3-1. They're not that far off Nashville and Colorado and Chicago and everybody else in that Central Division who's making life difficult on everybody else.
Toughest division in the league again.
In saying that, though, I don't know what's wrong with this team. I know there's a lot wrong with it. I can nail down a few items that probably should be looked at.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the individual, and I'm going to use this term a lot, the individual give-a-crap meters of some people.
They don't look very high.
They look low.
They look quite low.
Like, I know that they're going to hear the chirping from everybody no matter where they are.
Yeah.
I'm almost certain that Patrick Laine doesn't want to play hockey anymore based on his lack of effort out there.
Yeah,
either he's either he's hurt, he doesn't care, or he simply just wants to get to Finland.
Or he's not ready for this. He's not ready. It doesn't seem like he came ready to start this season.
He said in the preseason that, you know, he'll find his shot, he'll find his everything in terms of getting it going. You're 10 games in, you still haven't found a damn thing.
Yeah.
Blake Wheeler looks like he's old and slow as opposed to being Blake Wheeler, the 91-point man for 97-point whatever it was from last year.
Yeah,
Blake Wheeler's new contract looks like an absolute albatross right now.
Yeah, not very good right now.
So unless Blake Wheeler is hurt or his give-a-crap meter increases a lot, Blake Wheeler's contract will be one of those ones that gets laughed about for years to come if he doesn't change the way he's playing.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Mark Scheifele scoring goals, I'm telling you right now, that top line of Connor, Wheeler, Scheifele would be scorched earth.
Yeah.
They're awful right now.
And Connor started off strong, but has definitely fallen off a little bit.
I totally agree with you. Yeah. Second line is just as bad. Laine doesn't care. It looks like he doesn't care. Brian Little, I don't think, can carry the water on that line. Yeah. And Ehlers hasn't scored since the Stone Age.
Well,
although he did
score last
night, finally got that gorilla off his back. We'll see if he can
threw it off there.
I was going to say, see if he can actually sustain that for any sort of length of time now. But in saying that, those top two lines gotta come around fast.
Well, they look sloppy. They look slow. They just do not look ready to play every night. And every night it's been the same thing. The first two periods they come out and it's horrible.
And you're going to get the best from every team you play against. You're the Western Conference finalist. They know you're good.
You are predicted to win the Stanley Cup this year. A lot of people have picked you. So people are going to come out and give it the best. You're not the old Jets where you get the backup goalie every
exactly.
Night. You're the new Jets that everybody's going to come and try to beat.
That third line, Lowry, Kopp, and Tanev might be your best line in hockey in terms of the way you're playing right now. Not in hockey,
points,
I guess, but in terms of
as well
your hockey
as they've
team.
Been up there.
They, you know what, though? Forecheck everybody through the boards, and you'll get a few, right?
Playing hard. You don't have to be fancy.
Brandon Tanev last night, when he made that move in terms of drawing the penalty in the third period, fantastic work. I have no problem with Brandon Tanev doing that.
Yeah.
But to have those three guys who are normally your checking line be your best line right now, a little bit of heartbreak. And then I'm pretty sure that Matthew Perreault is going to end up asking for a trade or demanding a trade within weeks if he continues to play 8 minutes a night. Roslovic probably should give him a little bit more of a chance. And I'm almost certain I never want to hear or see the word Lemieux on the back of a jersey ever again in Winnipeg.
I think there's better options.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we were talking about before the show. Time to start. Got to shuffle things up.
Yeah.
Let's bump Laine up to the top line, see if he actually gives a crap with Scheifele and Wheeler.
Yeah.
See what happens at that point. Wheeler and him seem to have great chemistry on the power play. Let's see if we can roll that into a regular shift in terms of those things. Second line, we've talked a little bit about this. I want to see if you're not going to take Kyle Connor off that top line, you're going to leave Laine and Ehlers, Laine and Ehlers together. Take Brian Little off that line, put Matthew Perreault there.
Yeah. A little bit of a firecracker on that line.
Absolutely. Yeah. I 100% agree. Yeah. But if you're really looking to shake things up, maybe change the way this game is played.
Yeah.
I agree with what Skippy had said before the show. Skippy sitting out in the bullpen area right now. Let's put the kids together.
Yeah.
Let's put Kyle Connor, Jack Roslovic, and Nick Petan together and let them go bananas. They went crazy in the AHL last year. Scored tons of points.
Yeah.
Lights out difference in terms of the way that they played the game down there when they were playing together. Let's put them together, see how they do up here.
It gives you a lot of speed, gives you a lot of youth and energy. I mean, it gives you a lot of things. It might not give you a lot of defensive help. But then you play him with a guy like Josh Morrissey and a guy like Jacob Trouba. You play them with some great defensemen. You give it a chance. I mean, I think this Wheeler Scheifele Connor line right now is just they're just dead in the water right
they
now.
Don't they don't look the chemistry
cohesive.
Isn't
yeah,
there.
They're
yeah.
not cohesive yeah. right now. And even with the little Ehlers, I mean, line to line, there's not a lot of defensive help. Like, one thing Brian Little's done well is played the defensive side of
sure,
the puck.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But his other two guys don't help at all.
So here's the
and
thing.
They turn over the puck half
so here's
the
thing. If Brian Little is moved to the fourth line,
yeah,
or whatever line in terms of whatever line you want to move him to,
fourth
but fourth line in terms of taking Matthew Perreault's spot,
yeah,
that leaves you with Little, Roslovic, and possibly Connor.
Yeah.
Okay, I could see that maybe working okay. If you move Roslovic to the wing, you're taking him out of his natural spot, but hey, let him go to the wing and see what happens.
Year.
He played there last year.
Did well.
That would give you the Tanev-Kopp, Lowry line yep. in terms of your third line. That would put your second line, again, as Perreault, Line A, Ehlers.
Yep.
And then your top line, though, has a hole in it now. Who do you bring up? Who do you put in that spot?
In the Connor spot?
In the Connor spot, if you want to see that change. Your answer should be the guy on the one-way contract who's eating a lot of popcorn, named Nick Petan. Let him get in there and see what he can do. Nick Petan put up points in the WHL. Nick Petan put up points in the AHL. Nick Petan can score goals. Nick Petan can set up goals.
Yeah, he's skilled. He's a skilled player. He's not the fastest guy on the ice,
right?
But he's a skilled player that can create opportunities.
Throw Nick Petan in there and see what happens. I'm excited.
Even
to
on
see
a
that.
Power play, a guy like Nick Petan on that second power play would be a great add to that power play.
So if we transition now to the other side of the coin, there are nightmares, and then there's the Jets defense.
Yeah, right now, not. I shouldn't say all the Jets defense, but 2/3 of their defense right now are not.
That Morrissey-Trouba combination is probably going to be Winnipeg's version of Seabrook and Keith, the way Chicago has it. Has had that set up for the longest time. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Earn your money. Go out and make your money.
Yeah.
But the guys behind them, Byfuglien, Myers, Sherratt, Kulikov, Morrow.
Yeah.
Either you play the position or you get off the ice.
Yeah. I was saying before the show, I said it's good to say that the next best defenseman after Morrissey and Trouba is Ben Sherratt. But that's not saying much for the guys behind him.
But that's what we said, like, in terms of expanding on that.
Yeah.
He's your third best defenseman, but when he has the puck on a stick, he's an absolute gong show.
Yeah, I mean, he should be your sixth, seventh defenseman.
Absolutely.
Best defenseman on this. And right now he's the third, which isn't saying much for what's happening with the rest of the guys.
I say you waive Kulikov, send him down to the minors.
I just don't think he's in condition to be playing.
I say you waive Kulikov, send him down to the minors.
Yeah.
Bring up Sammy Niku or Tucker Poole. Nobody's going to go out there and grab him.
Nobody.
And if they do, good riddance.
He was just ranked on one of the top 10 lists of worst free agent signings in the last few years.
There you go, yeah. So get rid of – wave Kulikov, send him down. Yeah. No big deal. You know what? Go down there, get yourself fixed up, whatever you got to do in terms of figuring out how to play
in
this
shape.
Game. Whatever you got to do.
That's what it looks like.
Bring up Niku, bring up Poolman if you have to. Yeah. One of those two or both.
Yeah, I was saying at work today, bring a guy like Poolman up. Give him a chance. He's young. He's giver. He's going to give her.
They can't do any worse than the other guys. That's the issue.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot be worse than the way the Jets are playing. And then if I'm Connor Hellebuck, and don't get me wrong, love Connor Hellebuck, think he's a fantastic goaltender, but Connor Hellebuck is being slowly, and people are going to fry me for this on social media, but Connor Hellebuck is looking more and more like Andrei Pavlik every day.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that. The comparison shouldn't be made. But he's overplaying a lot of those pucks. He's guessing at a lot of those shots.
Yep.
And granted, he's a big guy. He can get away with a couple of guesses, unlike Pavlik, who is a much smaller goalie than he was. But Connor Hellebuck, watching him against the Leafs fly around, and Leafs got speed. Leafs got great speed. Watching him lean, watching him try and overplay some of those shots, leaving the far post open, leaving, again, we talked about it before the show, that John Tavares goal, that fourth goal that they scored, he was not solid. He kicked out that pad to try and make the save in terms of blocking the cross ice pass, but in doing so, slowed it down just enough that Tavares could just walk in and tap it in.
Yeah. He was off his end. He was leaning.
Again, he's leaning. Yeah. He's not playing out as far as he did last year when he was cutting down angles. He's not, and I'm not saying he needs to make like 1 foot difference in terms of playing out of the net.
Yeah,
an extra 2 or 3 inches, and that puck doesn't get through.
Yeah, and on the opposite note, backup goalie Laurent Brossoit has been looking like Connor Hellebuck of last year.
Brossoit has been outstanding.
So I mean, it's interesting to see some of the guys that had a year like they did last year, how they've come out this year to start the season. And It kind of makes you a little bit worried.
You heard the rhetoric in the preseason, though, about how, you know, we'll figure it out once the season starts. We'll get it going once the season starts.
You're not supposed to figure it out. You're supposed to know about it already. You're NHL hockey players that had a great season. You got to keep it going.
You legitimately finished your season in June.
Yeah.
Just before June, in terms of the way they finished against Vegas.
Yeah.
Had June, July, August off.
Yeah.
Started working out again in September, I assume, or probably a little bit before that, maybe even August.
Yeah.
How is it that you can lose that much of a step in 2.5 months?
Yeah.
I don't understand this.
Not working on your game. Maybe it was...
And I get it. We worked hard fatigue, this season. There's fatigue, there's injuries, there's bumps and bruises you got to get over.
Yeah.
That 2.5 months that you took off should have had you up and running. If you're still hurting, if you're still a problem, get it fixed now.
Yeah.
Because we need you in the stretch run.
Yeah.
But I don't understand. And again, Hellebuck and Brossois, they worked out all summer together.
Yeah. That's one thing that's confusing is that Hellebuck seems like he's lost a lot of what he's learned the last 2 years.
He just doesn't look. And again, maybe. And I said this the other day when we were talking about it at work. Maybe it's the new equipment where it's been slimmed down and he's getting hit more and it hurts more.
Yeah.
Because before, he used to just let it hit his chest and it would fall straight in front of him.
Yeah.
But now, it doesn't. It looks like he's trying to avoid getting hit with the puck sometimes.
Yeah, trying to catch it.
Right.
Or anything. Yeah.
Or blocker it away or whatever. And it's resulting in bad things. And I get it. I get that that there's a lot of goalies that aren't happy with the way that the pads have been slimmed down.
Mm-hmm.
Find some way around it. Wear a thicker t-shirt underneath. Put some cotton batten around your arms if you have. I don't care what you got to do.
Put some ham slices in.
Whatever.
There.
Find yourself some old Sears catalogs and tape them to your arms.
That you don't even need pads after that.
Exactly.
Sears catalogs.
But I'm talking about a guy who doesn't look anything like he did last year.
No, there's just the look on a lot, and it's just the look on the guys' faces. It just doesn't look like they're interested right now. There's not a lot of interest happening.
No, and I don't know why.
Something bad happens, you know, it just doesn't look like they care that, oh, I turned over the puck.
Well, we'll see what happens in terms of caring, because Jets go on the road. They're in Detroit on Friday, play back-to-back on Saturday. I assume Brossois will get the start in Detroit. And then Hellebuck will start on Saturday in Toronto again, yeah, in terms of having his another chance at going back at them.
And maybe this is good. Maybe they need to go on the road for a bit, get their stuff together, and we'll see what happens. I mean
for a team
at home for a while, maybe they've got a little complacent.
Sure. For a team though that's 6-3-1, and make no mistake about this, yeah, team that's 6-3-1, they're a point out of first place. Nashville and Colorado have 14 points each.
Yeah.
Nashville does have a game in hand, granted, but yeah, no big deal. Chicago right behind though at 12 points, they have a game in hand. Minnesota 10 points, they have 2 games in hand.
Yeah.
So it's not like Winnipeg can just sit back on their laurels and go, you know what?
No.
We got a couple of games we can, you know, if we lose a game, no big deal. No, it is a big deal right now, because the points you put in the bank, and we said this last year, the points you put in the bank early on will help you immensely down the road.
Yeah. And I mean, and you got a couple teams in Minnesota and St. Louis who haven't been playing well either. They all of a sudden come up and start playing.
St. Louis 2-3-3 right now, 7 points, and Dallas 4-4.
Dallas as well. Like that whole division, half of that division hasn't started very well.
No,
they pick up their pace, and you know Jets will quickly fall behind. So they got to keep up.
Dallas 4-4. Their last one against LA, who's absolutely awful this season, and we kind of knew that was going to happen.
That's going to be the first coaching change of the year.
I don't think coaching change is going to help them.
No, I don't think so either.
But St. Louis, as we said, 2-3-3. They're dead last in the Central Division right now. Looking terrible in terms of the way they're playing as well. Aside from Ryan O'Reilly and David Perron, who seem to understand it, their defense is lost out there. Jay Bomeister, I don't know what's wrong with him, but whatever, in terms of getting that going. But Winnipeg again going in. Well, they'll have 12 games played by the time Saturday rolls around. If they don't have, I'm going to say this up front, if they don't have 16 points, if they don't get 3 of 4 points out of these next games, Winnipeg's now in a wild card spot. Again, we're talking 12 games of the season, is in a wild card spot, but you're in the toughest division in hockey.
That is relentless.
And you gave up points to Eastern Conference teams that you only see twice per year.
Yeah. Teams that you should be beating. I mean, even games like the Edmonton game, that's a game you got to have. You got to have those 2 points out of Edmonton.
The bonus is Detroit is 0-2-1 on their on home ice right now. They're 1-6-2 to start the season.
Yeah, there's not a lot of happiness in
Detroit. No, there's right not going to be a lot of smiling faces there.
No.
But Toronto, who is the top in their division, they have played two more games than both Tampa Bay and Montreal. But tops in their division, they're 7-3. Yeah. So you go from a team you should take 2 points from to a team that you're going to have to work your butts off to take two points from.
Yeah.
What I'm most impressed with about Toronto, take nothing away from Toronto and the way they've played. They're 7-3. They're 5-0 away from Scotiabank Arena.
The pressure is less out there.
Like, they haven't lost. They're the only undefeated team. Oh, sorry. Nashville is also 4-0 away. But the only undefeated team in terms of having the most wins, they're 5-0.
Yeah.
And I go, maybe that's what it needs. Maybe Toronto needs to again, win at home if you can. They're 2-3 at home. But yeah, if you're going to win away, that's what the Jets did last. The Jets were so good in terms of playing away. Home ice was great for the Jets as well.
But they did well on the road as well.
But they did well on the road, and that was the difference in terms of them shooting up the standings last year. So
Yeah, so I mean, like I said before, the Jets, maybe this is something the Jets need, is to get on the road a bit, get some games on the road, get back to what they've been doing. I mean, the whole thing is they've gone away with what they did last year.
Make it simple again.
With
I agree.
Speed, yeah. Get the puck in deep, yeah, and work it. And
absolutely.
And they're not doing. There's a lot of guys trying to carry that puck over the blue line through the neutral zone. A lot of turnovers coming back the other way and potential scoring chances. So,
we're almost at the break in terms of being halfway through this show. I was just looking at one quick thing here in terms of other standings, other information here. You know, Lou, you know, aside from, again, Toronto's top team in the East right now in terms of where they stand. Again, played 10 games. They played the most games out in the East as well. But you know who leads the Metropolitan Division right now?
The Carolina Hurricanes.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Carolina, in 9 games played, 5-3-1.
Yeah.
Did we ever expect Carolina to be...
No.
To have 11 points at this point in the season?
No, not a lot of people did. Not the toughest division in the NHL by any means.
No. In fact, I would go out on a limb. Might be the worst division. And the only reason I say that, Pittsburgh's played 7 games. They have 2 games in hand. They're a point behind. Washington's got a game in hand. They're a point behind.
Yeah.
New Jersey, remarkably, has 3 games in hand on them.
Yeah.
And is 2 points, or excuse me, 3 points behind.
Yeah. And New Jersey has come out strong, too. Like, they've started out sort of hot, too.
Like of all the teams, Carolina in terms of being ahead, Columbus is a game in hand. Philly has the same number of games that have played. Islanders have a game in hand. I don't see... Rangers are going to be awful again this season in terms of what's going on. But of all of those teams, they're within striking distance because they still have games in hand on Carolina.
Yeah.
You look at Carolina and you go... 5-3-1 is great, a great start for this team when everybody wrote them off early, but it may not be good enough to make the playoffs.
Well, in the next 3 games, they could be in second last place.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think that division looks strong, but I think deceivingly that division's not very strong. I think there's a lot of those teams are on the downward spiral of the downward slope of where they were maybe
they've
last year.
They've plateaued, and some of them have taken a step back, in terms of what's going on. We're going to... Oh, we still got a minute to kill here. I was going to say, we're going to play... No, you know what? I don't care. We're playing the legal ID now. We're getting this out of the way. I'll be back in about 20 seconds because I want to have... Speaking of the Metropolitan Division, we're going to have a debate about one player in there right away. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be back in a couple seconds here on The Hockey Show, 101.5 UMFM.
Just throw the money in the wind when I'm gone.
This is Dan Frechette. You're listening to CJUMFM, 101.5 in Winnipeg.
Let the wind sing an empty song.
There is Dan Frechette.
That's
welcoming
the most
you back.
Normal legal ID we've played.
I know. It might be like the only one that legitimately we've played that hasn't been like, what?
What is happening?
So there was a lot of debate the other night. I'm going to say this only because Tuesday night saw perhaps a changing of the guard, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Sidney Crosby faced off against Connor McDavid in what some people are describing as who is the best player in the NHL debate.
It's Connor McDavid.
See, and I look at this. Here's where I put. You know what? I want everybody to pump the brakes a bit.
Yep.
Again, we're 10 games into the season. Some teams have only played 7. Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Some teams have only played 9. Edmonton.
Yep.
Pump the brakes a bit, and here's the reason why. This is the exact same argument that went on in the 1980s, with one guy from the Oilers who was really, really good.
Yeah.
Scored a lot of points. won a lot of Stanley Cups, was a little bit older than the other guy who played for the Penguins.
Yep.
Phenomenal goal scorer, had all sorts of talent, had no accolades to his name. At the time, the guy in the 80s from the Oilers was deemed the best player in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't take long for that other guy to catch up. See the similarities we're going with now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My question is, after watching what Crosby did, Crosby, again, had not scored any goals against Edmonton in their first four meetings that they had in terms of career.
Yeah.
Scored two goals the other night, including that insane overtime goal where he made Ryan Strome look like he was, well, he was already wearing orange, so I was going to say it looks like a pylon.
Made Ryan Strome look like Ryan Strome.
Made Ryan Strome look like the orange jersey puck, orange-colored jersey that he was wearing there in terms of being a pylon.
Yeah.
But I look at it as almost the flip now, because that 80s Oilers team had tons of talent on it.
Mm-hmm.
That current Penguins team that Crosby's on has tons of talent on it. Malkin and all those guys. On the flip side, that 80s Penguins team had virtually nobody on it.
Yeah.
And the current Oilers team has virtually nobody on it.
Yeah.
Are we legitimately just going out and trying to repeat history here by having this debate? Like, does it really matter who is the quote-unquote best player in the NHL when these two get together, they turn on the Jets and they just go, let's one-up each other?
I mean, I think it's fun to talk about. I think guys, people like to talk about it because it's just something that...
Okay, so if you like to talk about it...
That the media does talk about.
Right, if you like to talk about it, then the only way you should be allowed to talk about it is state your criteria for what best means. Because if you come up with hardware, well, Sid's got a whole trophy rack of hardware, and now he's racking up Stanley Cups. I don't care about personal awards. I've got them all.
Yeah.
I've won the Richard. I've won the Art Ross. I've won, you know, this, that, and the other. I've won the Lindsay in terms of being the NHL. Yeah. I've got all that stuff. You're getting them now. Congratulations, Connor McDavid, but try winning a Stanley Cup. And that was the lesson that was taught to Mario Lemieux at that 87 Canada Cup by Gretzky. It's fantastic that you're a great scorer, but the real accolades come when the team wins.
Well, and it took Lemieux to win one to have some guys around him.
It took a lot of setting up that.
Yeah.
Like when we're talking about 87 now. They didn't win until 91. That's a 4-year gap.
Yep.
Connor McDavid just signed what, a bazillion year contract for $20 gazillion, whatever, $90 gazillion,
whatever it is.
At what point, though, if the Oilers don't start improving, at what point does Connor McDavid go, you know what, I might be the best player in the world, but I'm tired of being the best player in the world in this city?
Yeah, I don't know if he'll win a Stanley Cup staying in Edmonton,
right?
For a long time, if ever. That's going to be tough, because then that's also that debate is, if you're going to be the best player in the world, you're going to have Stanley Cups under your belt.
If you want that designation, you have to win.
Yeah. Single player, talented-wise, skill-wise, everything, he's the best player. But he's not going to win a Stanley Cup because of the team he plays for.
And if that's criteria,
not his fault.
No, and then we're not putting that on. But again, nobody put that on Lemieux either in terms of what Lemieux was considered. It was Gretzky-Lemieux in terms of the way Gretzky-Lemieux in terms of how he had it.
Yeah.
And now we're talking McDavid-Crosby. But you can't be the best unless you go out and prove you're the best. I think that's where it comes down to. And I'm tired of hearing people go, just, again, you can write off Sidney Crosby if you want. He's 31 years old. He's not old. But he's not a spring chicken anymore, not like Connor McDavid. Yeah, he's an older player now in terms of what he's doing. But to write him off and then to see what he did on Tuesday night where he basically deflected that puck out of the air to open the scoring on the power play, and then to absolutely burn that Oilers defense in the overtime.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I go, he doesn't care that much, but God, does he care a lot when you question when you question his love for the game, his passion for the game.
Yeah.
Sidney Crosby might make that conversation a lot harder.
Sidney Crosby is still...
And don't get me wrong.
It's like 1A and 1B.
I was going to say, don't get me wrong. I'm a Penguins fan, and I'm not saying he's the best player in the league by any means. I'm just saying, though, that Tuesday night, though, showed that he can still elevate that game to a new level that we don't get to see very often.
Sidney Crosby is Sidney Crosby.
Right.
He is truly one of the greats of all time.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
But you put him one-on-one, him and Connor McDavid, one-on-one, Connor McDavid's going to win.
But see, but that's where I look at it and I go, nobody ever plays one-on-one. It takes a team to win.
No.
So let's be honest here. If you're going to put Connor McDavid in that argument, and you should because he is a generational talent, at what point do you start adding other generational talents to it who have won? Because now we're talking about, okay, guys won the Art Ross, guys done a whole bunch of stuff. Nikita Kucherov won't get added to that. Nikita Kucherov can score at will, it seems.
Not this year because he's not putting points up.
Yeah, not yet in terms of what's going on. But it seems like he could. He's won the Art Ross. He's up there in terms of goal scoring. Again, talk about Alexander Ovechkin. Alexander Ovechkin can be added to that list now. Alexander Ovechkin's got a ton of hardware that he's collected on his own personal dime.
Yeah.
But now that he's won the cup, people go, he's a champion.
Yeah.
Alex Ovechkin is going to the Hall of Fame now for sure. He was always going to the Hall of Fame, but now he's going as a winner.
Yeah. Now he's punched his ticket.
He's no. Sure. And again, I feel bad because there are guys in previous eras, Marcel Dion, for example, phenomenal talent, outstanding generational talent. Marcel Dion could change a game simply by putting his helmet on and saying, I want it.
Yeah.
But Marcel Dion didn't win. He doesn't get included with the likes of Gretzky, Lemieux, or those guys because he didn't win.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying McDavid shouldn't be included with the likes of, you know, those guys either. But it's going to be a lot harder to justify how good he was if he never wins.
Yeah, he might not get the chance, right? He might never get the chance to even give it a shot to win.
Right, exactly. I agree.
Because of where he's playing. And and that sucks, but at the same time, he's the best player in the NHL.
He is definitely the best player in the NHL.
But he's not.
But you cannot say that you are the greatest if you don't have.
He's a loser now.
No, I'm not saying he's a loser. I just say you can't say that you're the greatest at that time if you don't have the hardware to back it up. And right now, three Stanley Cups for Crosby says.
And I don't see a Stanley Cup in McDavid's future anytime soon.
So here's a tough question then. Tough question because there's no right answer for this.
Oh, well, thanks.
At what point in this contract that Connor McDavid has, at what point does he say, I want out? If he does. I'm not saying he will. I'm not saying he wants out. He may love Edmonton and may want to retire there in terms of what's going on. But at what point, if he really wants to go win and there's no significant improvement to the Oilers, at what point does he say he wants out? I say 5 years. 5 years tops.
What time is it now? 6:07? 7 o'clock.
7 p.m. Wow.
Yeah, that's a tough question because, you know, who knows what the Oilers are going to do in the next few years.
Yeah.
But they have to improve immensely in every aspect of that team.
Absolutely. I agree.
5 years sounds like the right amount of time for me because if in 3 years they don't even improve at all, if they're still at the bottom of the barrel, I don't see him sticking around much after five.
I can't understand if they would or wouldn't, but I would almost be certain that he will not.
Yeah.
He'll
pull a John Tavares. He will, except John Tavares didn't get traded. He just signed somewhere else.
But winning becomes far more important than anything else.
He should put a clause in his contract that after 5 years, if this team hasn't got out of the basement, he can go wherever he wants.
That would be interesting.
That would be a good clause to have.
That would be interesting. Big weekend coming up. For our local teams, not the local professional teams, but the...
Well, them too, probably, but...
Well, I'm sure. The Moose and the Jets. Jets got their own stuff going on. Yep. But big weekend coming up for both men's hockey and women's hockey here at the university. We'll go over that just quickly here in terms of getting you set up for that. Men are on the road. They'll be in Mount Royal in Calgary playing the Cougars at the Flames Community Arena. I'm not going to say it's going to be an easy game because the Cougars are always a tough game. Cougars did eliminate them in the playoffs last year, if I recall correctly.
What's the record of our men's team right now? How did they do last weekend?
They didn't do well.
They too. Well, they played Saskatchewan.
They played Regina.
Regina. Oh.
So men, after beating the Alberta Golden Bears 3-2 in a surprise upset, which was an incredible game. Credit to Jason Pajak. I listened to the broadcast that he did. He was outstanding in terms of his call on that. That third goal was like... It was like they won the Stanley Cup. Like the excitement was huge.
Maybe that was the problem that
they've now lost three in a row by scores of 4-1 to Alberta on Saturday and then to Regina 3-1 on October 19th, which was last Friday, and 6-3 on October 20th. And this is the part that hurts the most is that game for the Bisons, that game was a 3-2 game a 2-2 game going into the third.
Hmm.
And they lost 6-3.
Yeah, but four goals.
Zach Zabrowski came out and scored three straight goals in that third period. natural hat trick in the third period to basically bury the Bisons at that point. So Bison's going to come back. They're going to play against Canada, or excuse me, against Mount Royal in terms of getting everything going. In saying that, it's going to be tough. Mount Royal currently 2 points ahead of them. They're 2-2-2 on the season. Manitoba 2-4 on the season. Obviously not doing that that great. Tied with Lethbridge down below. Regina one point ahead of them. Excuse me, at 5 points. Saskatchewan leads 10. Oh, they're 5-1. Alberta 4-2 again. Manitoba did beat them. UBC also 4-2. Calgary 3-2-1 has 7 points. So
it's still early, not out of it.
No, no, it's still very early. But Manitoba's got to pull up their socks and get themselves going.
Losing 2 to Regina, that shouldn't
that
happen,
shouldn't happen very often, especially when they looked very good against Regina in the preseason.
Yeah,
or I guess not maybe the preseason
and looked good against the Golden Bears in the week before. Right,
absolutely looked good against the Golden Bears. I guess they didn't play them. Did they play them? Oh, they did play in the preseason. Won 5-2 in the exhibition game here. Beat Regina 5-2. So. Hopefully they'll get back on schedule. We'll keep everybody updated when we do the broadcast this weekend when Kylie Palmer and myself are doing the broadcast. There we'll make sure everybody gets the information going as we have a rare Saturday-Sunday scheduling for the Bison women this time as the Bison women come in having beat Regina twice.
There you go.
Bison women won 4-2 on October 19th and won 4-3 in a shootout. Yeah, that game was ridiculous, and we'll talk about that in a second, but... 4-3 in a shootout on Saturday in which Carissa Kirkup went absolutely off the charts. She scored a goal in the third period that was legitimately highlight of the night stuff.
Yeah, I think I saw the tweet, the Twitter feed on that one.
Incredible goal. And then she went off and scored in the shootout for the third goal in the shootout, Manitoba scored on all three while Tereshchuk made the save to deny Regina a chance to extend it. But Kirkup looked fantastic in those two games against Regina, and certainly if she's coming around now, she's getting her legs underneath her.
Yeah.
Could be a dangerous weekend for Mount Royal this weekend when they come to Manitoba.
She's back.
It's a big thing, though. Speaking about it's back, she's back. Spooky Saturday. Super spooky Saturday, and it's going to be Junior Bison Night on Saturday. Wear your costumes, folks. If you wear your costumes or if kids wear costumes, chances to win prizes.
Oh, nice.
Bison Sports giving away prizes. Wear your costumes. Come in costume. Don't wear masks.
Yeah.
And the reason we ask that you don't wear masks is if you have a mask, you can carry it, but don't wear the mask. And the reason for that is it prevents you from seeing everything around you, and we definitely don't want to see you get hit with a puck.
Yeah. And kids get scared.
Again, I'm okay if kids are
it's Halloween. Scared.
But at the same time, though, we want to make sure that you have your eye. You can see everything going on around you, so that you don't get hit with a puck. Take the mask off when you're sitting down. You can wear it. You can wear it walking around if you want, but take it off when you're sitting down just to be safe.
How does the netting work at Wade Fleming? Does netting, it go all the way around?
Netting's good. Yeah, it goes all the way around. But at the same time, though, just to be on the safe side.
Pucks go out.
You never know. You never know what happens in terms of what's going on. But again, we want to make sure that everybody's safe at that point. So take them off when you're sitting down. Myself and Kylie will be dressed up. We will have costumes on that day.
Can you give me a hint of what you're wearing?
No. No, if I do, it'll give away everything.
You got to take a picture and tweet it out.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be pictures that are tweeted out for that, because it's going to be fun. I'm sure we're going to have a great time with that. But chance to win some prizes this weekend if you want to come down to the rink. Again, it's super cheap to get in. 17 and under, free. Bring the kids down for free, everybody. $10 for adults.
Bring your teenagers down free.
Bring your teens down for free. They can get in too.
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody can get down in terms of having some fun with that. So that'll be a good time. Checking out those games. Manitoba 4-2 on the season. They are down in the standings, which may surprise everybody. Everybody's like, what are you talking about down? They're 4-2. They shouldn't be that far down in the standings. Manitoba currently, for those of you who are wondering and maybe asking the question as to where they are in the standings, fourth place right now.
Okay. So behind Saskatchewan.
BC at 4-1-1 has 14 points. Saskatchewan at 3-1-2 has 13 points. Alberta at 4-2 has 12 points. Manitoba 3-2-1 has 11 points. Regina 3-2-0-1 has 10 points. Mount Royal comes in 2-3-0-1. They got blown out last Friday against Alberta, 7-0. Like, Alberta stomped all over them.
Yep.
The very next night, they went down the highway to Calgary to play a home-and-home. 3-1 winners over Alberta last week. So, Mount Royal can play.
Yeah.
It's not going to be an easy weekend, but Mount Royal always comes in. They're a fun team to come and watch. They're feisty. They like to skate. They like to fly with a little bit of speed out there. This is a team we've been saying for a couple of years is on the rise. Come out and see the Cougars play if you want to have a good time. Manitoba, Mount Royal is always a battle here at Wayne Fleming Arena.
Canada West women's hockey, there is not any. There's no easy games.
Absolutely not. No, and that's games. The scary part is that yep. all the eight teams are dangerous in their own right.
Yep.
If you're going to skip this game, I don't know why you would skip this weekend, but if you're going to, no games next week. The women are on a conference bye, so don't come down to the rink to see women's hockey. The men, I don't know if the men are playing. Let me just play. Close their schedule. That wouldn't help. I didn't check their schedule going forward. Sorry about that, everybody. My bad. Oh, no, sorry. Conference bye. Sorry, that's reading week. Sorry, I totally blew it on that one. I'm like, what's November 2nd? Why do we have that? Reading week and conference bye. Everybody gets a chance to study. Women will be at home on the 9th against Lethbridge
yeah.
and the 10th against Lethbridge, and then the men return home on the 16th to play the UBC Thunderbirds.
Nice.
So there's your schedule coming up, folks. Hopefully, we'll see these teams a little bit higher than where they are in terms of their current standing. Not that they're in anything bad. For those that are wondering, Bison's last year at this time, Bison women's hockey last year in terms of their national championship season, were 3-3 at this time. So they're technically a game ahead right now.
Better than they were last year.
Technically a game ahead. There were some tougher competition up front. UBC, Alberta, and Saskatchewan, I think, were their first three opponents. But at the same time, though, still got to win games.
As Blake Wheeler would say, we're not struggling.
I think Maurice said that.
Well,
but Blake Wheeler certainly would say this. It would certainly say the same thing.
Yes. As Paul Maurice would say, we're not struggling.
We're not struggling. No, and hold on, we're not struggling.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic. If you want to come down again, get down here 7 p.m. on Saturday to see the women play. 2 p.m. on Sunday. If you want to come for that, you don't have to wear costumes on Sunday. But Saturday night, if you want to win prizes, get here early, 6 o'clock, 6:30-ish. Doors will open. I think it's 6:15. You can come in, get yourself a good seat, and certainly see if you can win a prize.
I'd be impressed if the same person came to both games in different costumes.
That would be impressive.
I'd give him a prize the second night as well.
I know Kylie has said she's got a couple of costumes handy. Maybe she'll wear costumes on both nights. I'll have to...
Double costume.
You know what's funny, though, is that I'm going to be in costume virtually all day on Saturday because I have to work Bison's football as well in terms of doing the radio stuff for them. It's also super spooky Saturday at Bison's football. So if you want to come down and get the football game in as well, you can see UBC and Manitoba play for a playoff spot in terms of what's going on in Bison football.
Yeah.
And then you can come over to the rink and catch Bison women's hockey and see Mount Royal and Manitoba tangle in that game.
Yeah, it's not a far walk.
No, it's right across the street. Yeah. You'll be all right. So there's your setup in terms of that going. Speaking of Bisons, though, first professional goal and first professional assist were recorded this past weekend by one Venla Hovey.
Yeah, I heard that.
Venla, outstanding effort. She made a deflection on a Brianne Jenner goal to score on Finnish national teammate Noora Ratu.
There you go.
And then she assisted on Hallie Krzaniak's first professional goal to help the Inferno defeat the Shenzhen KRS, whatever, Kunlun Red Star, Vanke,
Chinese team.
Shenzhen, China, Asia.
Team. TP.
Far East somebody team.
Out there.
Yeah, so one of those teams.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Venla Hovey. She's on the board in terms of having points. She's obviously, we're never going to forget about her here. She did so much for the school here. But she's on the board. She's with in terms of being with Calgary. If you can get a chance to see her, make sure you get out to see her too. That's fantastic. Another Manitoba news story that came up this week. Retirement of one Jordan Tutu.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Jordan Tutu's career for you? Do you know much about the career?
I mean, I don't know much about it. When I had a cousin playing junior hockey, he was also playing junior A hockey out in OCN, I think, at the time.
Yeah, with the Blizzard, yeah.
So I saw a little bit of him when he played junior hockey. A little bit of a kind of a crazy up and down type of career for him.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about why that happened in a second here, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know the loss of his brother, things like that happened. He grew up in a little bit of a tougher environment.
Born in Churchill.
Yeah.
Moved to Rankin Inlet, learned how to play hockey up there. His dad was big on that. Barney Tutu.
Barney Tutu.
Was big on that. Barney was Inuk in terms of Jordan Tutu having the descendant, or the history, excuse me, of being the first Inuk ever drafted and to ever play in the NHL. Yeah. So congratulations to him on that. 35 years old, 13 seasons, 723 games in the NHL. Not to say that's a bad total for anybody, but 723 for a guy who was drafted in the fifth round, I think it was. But thought that he didn't think of himself as an Indigenous role model when he came to Brandon.
Yeah.
He played for the Brandon Wheat Kings after spending a season out in Alberta. Came to Brandon in 1999, made the World Juniors in 2003, obviously after the tragedy of his brother. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second, but drafted in 1998 in the WHL Bantam Draft by the Wheat Kings in 2001. The Nashville Predators made Jordan the first Inuk to be drafted by an NHL team when they took him 98th overall. Top 100, not bad.
Yeah.
Seemed the sky was the limit there, but the loss of Terrence Tutu was, I think, rattled him more than he may have let on at first.
Oh, for sure.
Terrence, who had just finished his first season in the ECHL, was looking to move up in the Chicago Blackhawks system. He's going to go to Norfolk and try out following his first season with Roanoke. The Roanoke Express in the ECHL, there's a team that doesn't exist anymore, where he was named the Express's Rookie of the Year. Had a great season out there. You know, I mean, didn't light the world on fire in terms of points, but was fantastic. Fans loved him, everything like that.
Yeah.
Terrence was arrested by police outside going home for driving while intoxicated. He had this, I guess, this sort of presence about him that he had everybody to think he was the perfect guy.
Yeah, he thought. And when he got
hit with it, he couldn't handle the idea of letting people down. He couldn't handle the idea of people looking at him differently, it sounded like, from what Jordan described. And unfortunately, Terrence took his own life, committed suicide, which was awful. And I know, you know, it kind of tore that family apart a little bit as well.
Yeah.
But it led Jordan, I think, down a sort of a dark path as well. He got into the alcohol, got into the, you know, especially in Nashville when he was drafted and was playing with them, into sort of doing sort of all night drinking binges and spending a lot of time off the ice doing things he shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
Was basically given an ultimatum by David Poile in 2010 that he either goes into rehab or get cut from the team. He did enter in December, on December 27, 2010, entered the NHL and NHLPA's joint substance abuse program. He spent a month of time trying to kick his addiction, and did, thankfully. Mm-hmm. He has now been sober for a long time. So congratulations to Jordan on that in terms of getting everything going. Also played with Detroit, has bounced over to New Jersey, signed with the Blackhawks, where he would end his career. 65 goals, 96 assists, 10 penalty minutes, as I'm dying here, in 723 NHL contests. But I think it's the biggest thing because now he's gone out, said it in Brandon when he retired the other day, when he retired last Friday. Now it's about moving on to the next chapter of his life where he's going to work and make life better for Indigenous children up north and certainly around across Canada, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think once he got healthy and once he kicked the habit, he became that role model, I think, that kids...
And his wife and kids are phenomenal as well. Like, they have supported him. And
yeah.
He's such a good father. He legitimately, and again, I don't know him as a father, but I've seen some of the stuff that he does with his kids in terms of taking them all over the place. He has his kids just as immersed in his culture as he is.
Yeah, and I mean, and not just Indigenous kids, I think kids all around. I mean,
oh, for sure, yeah, yeah.
Kids in the Brandon area who you know, have heard of him and then saw him playing, and you know, I think he's a great role model.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen videos of him with kids in Detroit, giving sticks to kids in Detroit and doing things, you know, for these kids.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I think he's going to be a great role model going forward.
Right. 2011, he started the Team Tutu Fund, and that helps, quote, and this is directly from his website, quote, a wide range of charitable causes, including nonprofits addressing suicide awareness and prevention, obviously close to his heart, as well as those supporting youth at risk. And I think that's the idea, is that he's looking to sort of get the kids, elevate the kids out of some of those, I don't want to say, you know, moments of despair, but certainly out of situations where things may not go as well as they should, simply by giving them a chance. And this is a guy who in the New Jersey Devils basically nominated him for the 2015 NHL Foundation Player Award, which is given to the player who uses the values of hockey, commitment, perseverance, and teamwork to enrich the lives of people in his community. And he was given specifically for using his ability and his awareness of hockey, certainly his fame in hockey, his notoriety in hockey to help the Inuk people up north. That was specifically what they nominated him for.
Yeah.
So
get the kids off the street, get them doing something that, you know, is productive and get them out of trouble. And that's a huge thing. I mean, a lot of times the only reason kids are getting into trouble and are on the streets and doing bad things is because they don't have any other options.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so to give them these options is such a great thing.
Sticks, pads, skates, the whole thing, yeah, in terms of getting people set up for that. Yeah. I'm going to say right now, in terms of the, of what he's... Count me as a fan of Jordan Tutu. I mean, again, sure, we didn't talk about him a lot in the past few years on the show in terms of what's gone on, but count me as a major fan of Jordan Tutu, not only because of what he's done on the ice, but what, yeah, he's doing off of it. If there's an opportunity, I know he's busy, he's always on the road, yeah, doing stuff, I would love to get him on the show and certainly talk to him about everything that he's experienced, yeah, seen, and have a good, you know, just a good sit down with him and maybe learn a little bit about exactly what Jordan Tutu, in terms of his life, where it's led him to and what he plans on doing in the future here.
Yeah, one of my favorite World Juniors of all time, when Jordan Tutu was around.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was a wrecking ball. Like, he'd go out, and he was skilled, and he was big, and he was fast, and he did everything, and he was a huge player in those World Juniors.
So. Score goals, make hits, do everything he was asked to do, and more after that. So, yeah, good to see him doing extremely well, and I'm happy that he may have found a little bit of peace now that he's retired. Obviously, never like to see, you know, players go away, but when they're good charity people and good, certainly, community people, it's always nice to see them get back out and do a little bit more in the community with that time they have now after they retire.
For
so
sure.
Hopefully, knock on wood, we hear good stories until the end of his charitable days, anyway, in terms of Jordan Tutu doing everything that he can there. So last but not least, I'm gonna sort of introduce something here.
All right,
it's not something fun, it's something crazy, but something fun for people that may want it. If you want Beans and I,
okay,
to come out to your rink, I'm going to offer it up. I don't know if Beans will be able to make everyone. He's got a bunch of other stuff
he
does.
I got things, but
he's got family.
I can make
He's got a family. He's got a job. I just sort of just float through life.
he's just around.
Yeah, I'm just sort of a homeless guy that hangs around the university here. But
that is not true.
But in saying that, though, if you want us to come out to your rink and promote your stuff on a Thursday night, I'm going to tell you this right now, folks. Sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Contact the station, contact Jared and Michael at the UMF off of umfm.com. There's an email address there. Contact them, tell them you want us to come out.
Yeah.
We'll do our best at scheduling everything. We'll get back in contact with you. It may take us a few days, just depending on how fast we get information and stuff. But if you want us to come out and promote your team, your league, your game, your people,
yep,
in terms of any stars that you may have, from Timbits right up to, you know, high school players.
Yep.
Let us know. We are more than willing to come out and visit. We have such a good time when we're on the road meeting people. That trip to Kenora was outstanding. Yeah. We had a great time out there.
People on the air. And
doing that. I mean, we're talking about when I went out to Shiloh, met tons of fantastic people out there. Again, just getting out into the community and doing some of this stuff. We have more fun doing that than just sitting in the studio. We want to be part of the community. We want to get out and make ourselves available for people, because that's what we're about, talking about the next players that are coming up.
Yeah.
Some of those players might be Bison players in the future. You never know.
Meeting kids, seeing what they're doing, what's happening.
Having a good time, exactly.
Talking about hockey.
So if you want to get us out to your show, let us know. Let Jared know. If you're on Hockey Blog in Canada, I have my email address on there, hockeyshow@umfm.com. But if you want to get out and hear that, by all means...
Yeah,
want us to see just the craziness that goes on when we go out to places.
Yeah,
by all means, ask us to come out. We'll gladly see what we can do for you.
That'd be fun.
Again, we'll promote this for the next few weeks. If you want us to come out, again, tell your friends. Maybe you don't have a team. Maybe you don't have kids. Maybe you don't have whatever. Tell a friend who's got it. Then tell your friend to get in touch.
Would we go to some beer league teams?
I would do beer league. Skippy, would you do beer league?
I can't skate.
That's all right. I don't think
it's a criteria.
Yeah, I was gonna say we're not usually on skates when we're doing our show.
Skating
that'd
as
be,
we record.
That'd be tough. But we'll gladly come out and we'll get everything going for you folks. So Beans, we're just about out of time here. Anything you want to promote before we get out of here?
Thank goodness for dentists, because you know they make your teeth healthy and clean, but they also make your mouth hurt, so
Don't forget dental assist.
Yeah, they do most of the work, hey?
I'm not certain that was a promotion.
I went to the dentist before.
Oh, okay,
but
there we go. I was so like, what are we promoting here?
For dentists all around the world.
For me, I am just going to say get out to the rink this weekend, folks. Saturday night, 7 p.m., 2 p.m. on Sunday if you want to come out and see the Bisons play Mount Royal. Kylie Palmer will have the call on UMFM.com second stream for both games. I will be with her in terms of doing that call. Also on CanadaWest.tv if you have, or Canada West TV if you have that service. By all means, check it out. Going to be a fun time this weekend with Mount Royal in town. Going to leave you now with Stomp Tom Connors and the Hockey Song here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's newest induction into the Canadian Songwriting Hall of Fame.
Tonight, tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Second period, where players dance with skates aflash, the home team trails behind, but they grab the puck and go bursting up, and they're down across the line. They storm the trees like bumblebees. They travel like a burning...